Prepare for launch. The Inertia Force Daily Fantasy Sports Podcast starts now with your host, Manny A.
What's up, Force listeners? Thank you so much for joining me today on this beautiful Monday. I'm going to break down this seven-game slate. I really like these slates. These six to eight-game slates are, I believe, the sweet spot in DFS. I think it's the best, I find it's the best chance you have to take home some, you know, big takedowns in tournaments. And I hope everybody else feels the same way about it and we can take home some serious money tonight. I'm going to jump right into this, and we have the Mets at Phillies. Steven Matz versus Zach Eflin. I'm going to tell you right now, Steven Matz is probably going to be the highest owned pitcher on the slate just because both sites did a very poor job of pricing him out. He's 6,700 on DraftKings, and he is 7,700 on FanDuel. He's projecting as the fourth highest scoring pitcher on the slate, meaning the Phillies are a good stack in terms of GPP. They're probably going to be low-owned, and they have some nice matchups here, especially lefty on lefty. They always go low-owned. You know, you have the Freemans, and then here you have Harper, and you have Jay Bruce. Both of them hit lefties very well. They're probably going to have single-digit ownership versus Steven Matz. They can easily go yard versus this guy, and I do think it's important to have a couple shares if you're playing multi-entry tournaments tonight. Looking at the one guy I'd probably play on this team, it'd probably be Kingery, just because he has an outrageous 64% hard contact rate versus lefties, and he's just got so much power and such a smooth swing. I'm definitely going to have one-offs of him. Obviously, you can look at a guy like Hoskins as well, but Kingery is my top guy on the Philly side of the ball. Looking at the Mets, look, we all know Eflin's just really bad versus lefties, and that's never going to change. And you look at this Mets side, yes, you have Alonso, who's probably the hottest hitter in baseball right now. He's also very expensive, and you're going to pay a lot of money to have him in your lineup. I'm more interested in the cheaper value guys like Conforto and Cano, who have just as good a chance as Alonso to hit a bomb here versus Eflin, if not better, because they are lefties and it's what Eflin really, really struggles against. And that's really about it. I don't have any interest in Eflin in terms of rostering him as a pitcher. Like I said, I think there's too much dangerous bats on the Mets side to be rostering him. Looking at the next game here, we have Toronto and the Yankees. This is my favorite game on the slate in terms of just, I think there's going to be too much ownership on Atlanta, Chicago, and the Yankees might go lower owned than they should be. And it's Aaron Sanchez. People who have talked to me or listened to me on the Discord and stuff know that I hate this dude. Aaron Sanchez, he always has an excuse. He never makes it past 2-3 innings. He gets a blister or a hangnail or a fingernail, loses a fingernail, or I don't know, the sun's in his eyes and he can't pitch no more. This guy has every excuse in the league to get out of a game. And now he faces the most dangerous lineup in the entire league. Look, he struggles like crazy versus righties, and what do the Yankees have? They all have righties. That's all they got. So I love the Yankees today. If I had to pick one bat from the Yankees, and like I said, they're all good bats, but if I had to pick one bat, I'm probably going to pick Gary the Goat Sanchez, just because I like pairing hitters that have a high strikeout rate versus pitchers that have a really low strikeout rate. Looking at Gary Sanchez, he's got a 24% strikeout rate, which is, you know, it's just above average. Versus a guy who's K-ing out right-handed hitting at 15%. There's only one way this thing's going to go, and that means going out of the ballpark, especially in Yankee Stadium, where, you know, any fly ball can get out. I really like Gary Sanchez here. he's definitely going to be my top target in terms of who I want to roster on this Yankees team. Stacking them, like I said, it doesn't matter who it is, but you got to start with Gary Sanchez, in my own opinion. Looking at the Toronto side of the ball, they're facing CC Sabathia. He finally got his win. I don't know what win it was. I think it was like 250 or something like that. But regardless, the dude's old and he's not as good as he used to be, and he sucks versus right-handed hitters. With that being said, look, Vlad Guerrero, I think, is hitting another rookie wall here. He's been really undisciplined at the plate as of late. He's super cheap across the industry. I get it. He's 3,600 on DraftKings, and he's 3,100 on FanDuel. They're daring you to play him. He's going to break out of this funk eventually. He still has a low K rate, surprisingly, as an overall at 16.3%. CC Sabathia has an xFIP of 5.33 versus right-handed pitching. So, I mean, if you wanted to play Blue Jays here, I think Vladimir Guerrero isn't bad for the value, just because his price is just so low. If I had to pick a guy here, I would probably pick Gurriel Jr. He's been probably the most consistent hitter on that team as of late, especially with his insane WOBA plus ISO. It's at 792. It's obviously completely unsustainable, but I really do like him as a one-off as well. On to the third game here, making record time, huh? The White Sox versus Boston. Now, this is the second, or this is now going to be the most chalkiest pitcher on the whole slate, Eduardo Rodriguez. Look, he's projecting higher than everybody on the entire slate. And I don't know if fading him is going to be a smart play, because, look, he's facing a White Sox team that's not very good versus left-handed pitching. They have an extremely low hard contact rate versus left-handed pitching. Like, I'm looking at the entire lineup here. It's 26, 27, 27, 18, 27, 21, 25. Like, they are not hitting left-handed pitching very well, right? And they got some insane strikeout rates here. You got Tilson, you got Jimenez, you got Cordell. Cordell's at 40% strikeout rate. Moncada is almost at 30. Jimenez is almost at 30. So, extremely high strikeout upside here for Rodriguez. I think his ownership will be justified. Looking at his numbers versus lefties and righties, he's been really solid, under 4x FIP on both sides of the plate. Extremely high K rate on left-handers and right-handers. You know, you're averaging at around 25.3. So I have no interest in the White Sox at all in terms of bats. I love Eduardo Rodriguez here. Looking at the other side, I think this is the best GPP play of the night, especially on FanDuel, who is a one-pitcher site. We have Lucas Giolito, who is probably making a case for Cy Young, to be honest. The dude is lights out right now. He is so confident on the mound. He's got a 31% K rate to lefties, a 30.7 K rate to righties. That is just insane numbers for him compared to last year. I don't think you can compare the numbers last year, because he's completely changed the way he's pitched. I don't think he's going to regress to a point where he comes back to what he was last year. I really do think he's improved himself as a player, as a pitcher. And for now, simulations have Boston at 5.7 as a team total. That's really high. It doesn't like at all Giolito in the spot, and I understand, but I think as a GPP flyer, his K rate is by far the highest K rate in this entire slate. He can easily go out there and punch out 12 versus this lineup, even 10, not give up any runs. We just saw Stroman completely shut out this team. Anybody who was in the Discord I told everybody to bet the Blue Jays yesterday with the run line, the win, because I knew the Stroman or the Stro Show, you want to call it, would shut that team down. And there's definitely no reason to believe that Giolito cannot. So looking at the next game, Kansas City versus Cleveland, I'm going to tell everybody right now, monitor the weather here. There's probably an 80 to 90% chance this game gets postponed. There's a ton of rainstorms coming in, and they're coming in at like the worst time. Like, they're literally coming in from when the game starts, rolling right into the night, extremely heavy rain. It's a little bit of a letdown too, because we have Adam Plutko, who is horrific versus lefties here. And I actually kind of did like the Royals just as a contrarian stack. They projected well enough to give me, you know, at least some shares of these guys in GPPs and tournaments. But I mean, other than that, I don't know how much I want to touch up on this game. As I said, Plutko is not very good versus lefties at all. Looking at the other side, we have Brad Keller. A lot of people have been riding the Indians this past week. They've kind of, they're almost snapping out of their funk a little bit, and they're starting to heat up just a little bit. Keller as well, looking at him, he's got a 5.49 xFIP versus lefties. Looking at the Indians lineup, they have enough lefties here where they can cause some damage if this game were to play. You can definitely look at guys like Luplo and Kipnis and Bauer and these guys that, you know, projecting fairly well. Carlos Santana is by far projecting the best versus right-handers this year. He has a 17% K rate, which is fairly low, with a 709 WOBA plus ISO. So if there's going to be one-off on the Indians, it would be Carlos Santana. But yeah, like I said, look at the weather. Pay attention to it. I will definitely keep everybody updated in the Discord. And yeah, do not forget to look at weather. I've seen too many people forget their lines and then they end up losing their money, and it's nobody's fault but yours. So do not forget. Looking at Atlanta and the Cubs, we might as well call this Coors Field tonight. Wind's blowing out. Everybody and their grandmothers and their pets are going to be playing this game, stacking it every way they can. We have two pitchers who aren't very good, Tejeron and Lester. Anyone who knows me, I hate Lester so much. I can't stand him. He's a horrible pitcher now. His prime days are over. I could steal three bases on this guy and he wouldn't even notice they were stolen. So, you know, I love Atlanta here. I love Acuna. I like Albies. I like all these guys. The stolen base upside here is extremely high as well. I think you're going to need to stack this game in cash games, tournaments, GPPs. I do think that the winning GPP lineup is at least going to have the Atlanta side of the ball in the winner, just because I do think they're just going to get to Lester quick. It's going to start early. It's going to be a leadoff hit with a stolen base, and then it's just going to be downhill from there for Lester. It might sound like I'm exaggerating and it's wishful thinking, but I'm telling you guys, he's not good. He's not even on my first page of projections in terms of his score for tonight at 7,600. He's not even on the first page. Like, I have Schwarber, Rizzo, Riley, and a bunch of bats that are above Lester, and that's how much my model at least doesn't like Lester tonight. So I'm definitely not rostering Lester. I love the Braves here, and I really like Freeman. Freeman always goes low owned, lefty on lefty, and we all know Freeman is extremely good on both sides of the plate. An outrageous 17.7 WOBA plus ISO versus lefties. So definitely love him in GPPs and in cash. It's a phenomenal play to have. Looking at the other side here, we have Tejeron. Look, Tejeron is a wild card here because I get that the wind is blowing out a lot, but he isn't as bad, okay, as Lester. And I think he does have the stuff to at least keep this team in check without him blowing up too much. The problem with him is he, like, it's like the third time through the order. Something, like, goes in his brain and he just can't figure it out. And he almost, like, talks himself into giving hits. It's weird watching him play. But it makes me less interested in the Cubs. They can definitely disappoint here. I understand my projections have this game at 13.1. That's correct. 13.1. It's insane the total that my simulations have, and I have Atlanta being 6.8 of that. It's extremely inflated just because of the wind. It's literally blowing out dead center. And we all know any type of wind there is severely amplified compared to any other field in the league. So if I were going to stack this game, which I'm probably going to, I like Rizzo here. He's probably their best hitter in this lineup right now. A lot of people always roster Baez, but look, Baez has got a 30% K rate versus righties. And I can't play a guy who swings at everything. I don't even know how his batting average is so high. I actually don't understand it, but it is. And it is what it is, but you heard it here. Probably just focused on Rizzo and probably some Hayward and Wilson Contreras, who's been on fire. He's been launching everything out of the ballpark as of late, and he's projecting very well as well. Two more games, guys. We got the Dodgers at Arizona. I like the Dodgers here. They are my fourth highest projected stack. I have them the same as the Phillies today at 5.6. There's something about Greinke that my model just doesn't like Greinke for some reason. I thought he was going to project well, but apparently not. He's lower than Steven Matz. He's almost the same as Drew Pomeranz. So obviously I'm not going to draft Greinke here or roster Greinke in any lineups today, not even in GPP. When something's swinging that way, that hard for one team, obviously something's up. I can't put my finger on it. Looking at Greinke's numbers this year, he's actually been really good. Like versus lefties, he's been really good with a 3x FIP, a really good K rate. The problem is the Dodgers, they don't strike out a lot, right? You're looking at up and down this lineup, the highest strikeout guys are their pitchers. Like you have Chris Taylor, who's 30%, and Enrique Hernandez, who's almost at 30, but everybody else is 17, 15, 12%, 11%. It's really low, their strikeout rate, and it scares me because, you know, once you start walking guys, it never turns out good versus the Dodgers. So I do like the Dodgers here for his GPP stack. Don't get me wrong, Greinke's numbers have been fantastic so far versus righties and lefties. He has a little bit of a high, or sorry, he has a quite a high fly ball rate. I can't speak English right now, versus righties. So if you're going to roster a righty, it's probably going to be Justin Turner. He seems to pick it up later in the season and he sees the ball really well. So that's definitely my guy. Looking at the Arizona D-backs here, they are facing Clayton Kershaw. And look, Clayton Kershaw is 10,400 on DraftKings and he's 11,000 on FanDuel. I think in a slate like today, I think it makes sense to pay down because I really do think just with the crazy team total that this Wrigley games have, and even if you want to roster Yankees like myself, there's no cheap bats. They're all expensive, all of them. So I really do think you're going to have to pay down. If you roster Clayton Kershaw, you're immediately going to have a different lineup than anybody else just because you're not going to be able to play the top hitters. There's not even cheap hitters in these games. Looking at the numbers, though, look, Kershaw has been really good versus lefties. He's been really good versus righties. He has a 24% K rate versus righties and a 22% K rate versus lefties. The only concern that he has here is his hard contact rate at 40% versus righties. Looking at this Arizona team, you know, Eduardo Escobar really pops off the page this year versus left-handed pitching. He's got an outrageous 832 WOBA plus ISO with a really low K rate, same as Marte Carson Kelly, sorry. This is completely unsustainable. Carson Kelly right now has a 56% hard contact rate, a 526 WOBA, a 450 ISO for a combined number of 976. I know it's really unsustainable, but even looking at last year's numbers with a 51 at-bat sample size, he was still at 790 WOBA plus ISO. So if there's going to be one really low-owned, if he plays, Carson Kelly, I'm not going to fault you for taking a shot in the dark here, because he's just profiling really, really well versus lefties this year. And he's probably going to be batting 7th or 8th. So I think he's fairly cheap on both sides. Yeah, he is 2,400 on FanDuel. And he is, let me see here, 3,600 on DraftKings. Bleh. Whatever. Sure, I'll roster him. Why not? Looking at the last game of the day, we have Colorado and San Francisco. What a snoozer this one's going to be. Look, we have Pomeranz and John Gray. John Gray, I have him performing better than Clayton Kershaw today. I think just his high strikeout rate makes him viable. He's 9,800 on DraftKings. He is 8,500 on FanDuel. So on FanDuel, I think this is where you're going to have to make your choice. I really do think if you plan on playing GPPs only today, and even today when I make my force optimal, I'm going to have a really hard decision because John Gray and Eduardo Rodriguez are $100 of within each other in terms of price point. And it's going to be very difficult, I think, to kind of dedicate who you're going to want to roster here. Eduardo Rodriguez, you could say has the better matchup just because the White Sox have been poor versus lefties. But looking at John Gray, look, this guy has elite numbers versus righties, and he has been okay versus lefties. Not great, though. He's got a really high walk rate versus lefties at 13.5%. He has a 40% hard contact rate with a 30% fly ball rate. But versus righties, his numbers are as good as anybody's at almost a 30% K rate, a low fly ball rate. And look, looking at this lineup, there is probably a little bit too many lefties here, and I think that's probably what's going to make me lean towards Eduardo Rodriguez here. But what I will say is he's projecting within 2 fantasy points projections, right? You know, quote-unquote projection of Eduardo Rodriguez. So if you want to take a shot on him, it's completely viable. I think he can definitely outscore Eduardo Rodriguez if for some reason he has a bad day. Because we've all seen the White Sox ruin many, many fantasy nights deciding to swing the bats. So it wouldn't surprise me if they did that today as well. So, yeah, looking at the bats, I'm not interested. Obviously, the ballpark is horrible for home runs. And just looking at San Francisco, I'm not interested at all. Drew Pomeranz this year has been really bad. He keeps regressing and regressing more and more and more. He's 6,300 on DraftKings, and he is, let me pull this up here, 6,800 on FanDuel. That's just not going to cut it, especially on DraftKings, where he is literally almost the same price as Steven Matz, and the projection's not even close. I'm going to have zero shares of Pomerantz today. And look, he's been really bad versus both sides of the plate. His xFIP is 5. He has a 45% hard contact rate to lefties, almost a 40% fly ball rate to right-handed pitching. So looking at, you know, guys like Blackman and Dahl and McMahon, all viable. I think it's more going to be playing the late slate. I don't think you can rush these guys in the main slate, but I do think in the late slate they're very viable. So if you're going to be playing the late slate, definitely stack the lefties on the rocky side. But I don't think I'm going to roster anybody for the main slate. So that's it, guys. We did it. I'm scared to see how long that took. Oh, we're at 25 minutes. Not too shabby. Thank you so much for listening. I'm going to be updating the tools after this so you guys can all take a look at what I'm going to be stacking. Hopefully you have a better idea of what to play tonight. Remember, if you are not a member, go sign up at inertiaforcesports.com. Click on the social tabs. You can join the Discord. You can follow me on Instagram or go on Twitter. It doesn't matter. I am giving away one free membership to anybody who retweets my video that I posted. Go check me out on Twitter at inertiaforcedfs. And just retweet, guys. That would be fantastic. And I will be announcing the winner either tonight or tomorrow morning. I'm just going to pick at random whoever it's going to be. And you will get a 1 month free membership to the site, access to all optimals and tools. So thanks so much for listening, and may the sports be with you. See ya.